Hey, put that back in your mouth.
I wish I could say I've had the balls to say that in my life before.
All right, I'm gonna go get lit.
Potato!
We interrupt this program to bring you this episode of Gamer Score Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Gamer Score Radio, where you'll hear me constantly berate my infant son in the background. We have no idea what episode number this is because we don't keep track of trivial things like that. I am your host, Anonymous Laz, or Laz, or Anonymous, however you would like to call me. And I almost said tonight, this morning, because these two gentlemen were so nice to get up and shake off those overnight doldrums to join us on this show. Five, yes, sorry. On my far left, I have my lovely co-host, Jay, aka Gear Dad.
Hello, good morning.
And in the middle, joining us as a special guest, he swears he got some sleep last night, but he just held up five fingers and he said he got 4 hours of sleep, so I'm confused. It's Mr. Elmer Fudd.
I don't even know what year it is right now. Hey, guys.
What year, what month, what week, what day?
Also, being in the middle of you two is a kind of a dream come true.
They don't sell these kind of sandwiches in stores, I should tell you. This is unique.
I've looked. I have definitely looked.
I've got like a coupon. Is it in the back? No?
Okay. What do you mean they don't honor that coupon here? This is BS.
Sir, we've told you before. We don't have it here.
That's the wrong this guy every day. Or the perfect one.
This is going to be our episode for this fiscal year, since so many of you listeners have been so astute and observant and pointed out that we have no schedule. So this is what you get, a fiscal year episode, so deal with it, okay? Our episode topic tonight is going to be difficulty in gaming.
Tonight.
Oh, man, this morning.
Oh. Now I'm really confused.
Oh, when you're up every 2 to 3 hours, this is what happens.
Yeah, I hear that, dude.
I don't miss those days, dude. Yeah.
So before we get into the subject matter, a couple of side notes here. If you guys could be so, guys and gals, if you could be so kind as to go onto Twitter and please follow our new intern. Their name is @GSRintern. They couldn't be here today because of some excuse that I didn't bother reading because intern.
Yeah, right.
Also, they're not allowed on the air, so... Screw that guy.
True. We tried that once, and the footage burned itself before we could even post it. So, no, we're not going to waste time with that anymore.
Interns thinking they're actual people. Jesus.
I know.
I mean, if you think we have no idea what we're doing, that guy is just like, whoa.
That's right. These kids who think that adult life is so easy, please. Just, interns don't know anything. And also, this particular episode of this fiscal year is going to be brought to you by eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses, it's the term that police are giving to people who see an Apple store being robbed. Eyewitnesses. And that's what you get for 9 in the morning.
I got out of bed for that.
This is what I do when I'm out. Send my barely ADS email. What ad do I want to give them? Boop, dead.
Fuck. Why am I still laughing?
I apologize. Okay. First, I broke Elmer. Hey.
Abby's gonna hate you so much. Like when she gets to junior high, she's gonna hate you so much.
Yep. Oh my god, yes.
She's like, oh god, dad, stop. You're embarrassing me.
Upset with me. He's like screaming at me, like, that was awful, dad. What is wrong with you?
But see, when you're that kind of dad, though, because my dad is that kind of dad, and I got to the point growing up where, like, I would say something, and I would suddenly go, I know what he's going to say, you just look at him, which then makes you a better dad when you get there.
It does.
Because you're already in the mindset. He's just training me my whole life.
Son, one day, you're going to be doing the same thing that I'm doing to you right now. You may hate it now, but you will find that it is useful in the future. Don't you want your bottle here, kid? No? Yes? There you go. Okay. That's right. Take the nipple. Take the nipple.
On it. Your wish is my command, sir.
For you,
this is going to be like...
I apologize.
This is going to be like 10 minutes of content and an hour of just...
Right.
Laz running around with a kid.
This is what the people want.
Exactly. This is actually really heartwarming stuff.
Right? This actually transitions right into what I was going to say next was...
I was about... Yeah.
Just my next question to myself was, what is gaming? Because I don't know. Because this is the second time I've been on a PC or a Xbox in the past, like, 3 weeks. The other time being the Apex tourney from a week ago? Yeah, a week and a day ago.
Yeah, a week and a day ago.
Which Team Get Good did much better than we anticipated we were going to do.
Hell yeah, dude. You guys were killing it.
I wouldn't say killing it, but it was a good time.
Well, there was one guy out there named It, and I think you downed him, so.
I got two kills. I got two. Which is not bad after 20 minutes of playing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, hadn't you, like, never played before? Like, yeah dude.
I played for 20 minutes with Zan, actually.
Right, yeah.
Like, the weekend before. And then my PC crapped out. And I was like, oh, great. And I didn't get a chance to try again. So that was 20 minutes of play. If you watch the stream, you can see me, like, constantly looking down at the keyboard, like, what does this button do?
I wonder what... look at that. I'm moving. Dude, I seriously watched your guys' clip of that win, like, 900 times, just because everyone is... I'm like, that is the most pure, joyous sound ever.
It was...
You're all just... Yeah. Ah!
I showed it to my kids and they were like, oh, is that you? Did you win? I was like, no, I was dead.
Were you? I thought we were all alive.
Yeah, dude, I was dead for like 5 minutes in that match.
You could have lied to your kids. They would never known.
That's true. No. You could have been
like, yeah.
That was.
I got the
their dad.
Yeah. What a bunch of dicks.
I'm the medic. I'm always alive, damn it.
The Terry, yes. I named this team for them. They need to get good.
That's right.
Scrubs. And your dad needs to lay down. His back hurts so much from carrying them.
And he didn't even have a backpack. They were on his shoulders the entire time.
Yes, it's on the shoulders
of backpacks while looting around the places.
That's actually my fault, because I picked up all the backpacks and had no gun.
I was wondering where they all went. I'm like, there's guns everywhere, no backpacks. What's going on here?
Dun, dun, dun.
But that was fun. That's been my gaming experiences, this right now and the Apex tourney. Last one.
I'm really glad you guys had fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's good stuff, man. I can't wait till the next one.
I meant to jump into the first one, but I think the time on the first one was like 7 to 9 PM or something like that.
Yeah, that's why we put in that second time for
it was
sure.
Like 4 PM for me. Cool. I'm still at work.
Right. But what about you guys? What's your gaming weeks been like, or months, or fiscal years, or whatever?
Oh damn. Well, since I was born, no. What have you been up to, Jay?
No, Brett, you go ahead.
I just saw that you muted, so I just want... Okay. Welcome to 6 in the morning with FUD. Okay. Oh, man. I picked up this game last night, actually. It's been... I saw it all over Twitch and what called... I think the proper pronunciation is Mardu. I think. Mordhau. It's like a first-person PvP, like, medieval fighting game. It's, like, super intricate, like, sword movements and blocking and parrying, and it's really difficult, but it's really cool if you're into that kind of gameplay.
Is that? I think I've gotten Twitch notifications of Reeb streaming that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, I was hitting up for a little bit last night, and I was like, all right, this is awesome.
So you're like, and like, keep this in my rotation.
Yeah. Because like everyone else we've had, we're like, hey, you should play this. They're all like, I fucking hate this game. We're like, oh, no. it's a very specific player for sure.
Yeah, is it one of those things where like either you love it or you hate it?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Because it's very, and there's it's very difficult. Let me finish that word before I move to the next one. I'm an idiot. It's very difficult, and the skill ceiling is like, I mean, it's insanely high. I was like, oh, this game seems pretty simple enough because I just played before I did the tutorial, and then in the tutorial they quickly teach you like all the different things you can do, and like timing wise with weapons, it'll like let you do different things, and I'm like, holy shit, this is deep, you know.
It's something you could like, it's not just a one and done game. You can see yourself playing it for a while.
Oh yeah, you can definitely tell if you get, I mean, if you figure all the mechanics out, I mean, you'll be an untouchable god basically. There was multiple times where like it was like out of a movie. It was so cool. Like we'd be charging in, and there's like 30 dudes running at us. We're running at 30 dudes. There's this big battle going on, and like a circle opens up, and it's just like me against one guy, and we're like dueling with swords for like 5 minutes straight while like this war is raging around us. I was like, this is so cool.
And this is for all platforms, or is it just on the
I PC? Got it's on Steam, but Steam? I don't, okay. Yeah, so I don't think it's anywhere else.
Okay, PC. So for you PC, yeah. Users, Mordo.
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 Jay, I saw a Discord thing where you said that it's hard to kick that Destiny habit still, right?
Yeah, still got its claws in me. Even through this crazy rivalry thing where you can throw grenades literally every 1 second. And it's just, it's nuts.
Jesus.
Yeah, I've heard that if you're a fan of PvP, competitive's been a little insane. And even,
Yeah.
I read something where people in Gambit were like, oh yeah, I can just throw grenades every like 2 seconds. So they're just like, no one was dying going up against any of the ads because all they had to do was just stand back and throw grenades all day.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Like, yeah, I can understand what they're trying to do. Like, they're trying to make it fun. And it is. Like, it's a good time. But 3 weeks of it, you're just like, okay.
Yeah. 3 weeks, you're like, I think this is a
little long. It's been really good for Destiny 1. I've seen a lot of people streaming that again.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, actually, the Distinguished Gentleman guys, they did a D1 raid on Friday night.
Oh, jeez. You
know, they reached out to me. They're like, hey, you want to run with us? I was like, sorry, I have my raid team on Friday.
Does it work? So in the Destiny 2 raid on Friday night, did you guys have infinite grenades almost in that too? Because it works in the raid too, right?
Yeah, it works like everywhere. But we didn't actually run the raid on Friday because one guy passed out and the other guy had a emergency date night. So it's cool, man. I was like, hey, go get your raid. It's a different raid for you. Go get your loot.
Yeah, baby.
The emergency date night.
So we ended up just running some PvP and then strike.
Eater of worlds, am I right?
Oh, God.
He wanted to show her his hung jury.
Hey!
my infant son's ears. Oh, no, you don't understand this. Never mind.
Yeah.
You're good.
It's okay. My kids, they're just like, oh, the things that daddy says we can't say again.
You can say nothing. Nothing.
I'm explaining to my daughter. If she comes in when I'm streaming, I'm like, if you see this light on, anything I say, you just forget.
Right.
It leaves these lips when that light is on.
That's where you need one of those.
That is the turn your brain off button.
That's where you need one of those lights like outside the door that says recording in progress. So they're like, do not enter. Did you see the light flashing? Damn it.
My wife and daughter were in the room here when we were doing that draft last night for the fantasy game critic thing. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you talking to? And I was telling my girl, I was like, look, that's just ignore me. I know we're saying
that it's fine.
Really bad thing.
That actually explains a lot. I was like, man, I left this wide open for him, as my ass cheeks usually are for Jay. And he just didn't go for it.
Now it makes perfect sense. You're like, oh, there was an audience. That's why.
Yeah. I was like, man.
Daddy, what does that mean? Don't worry about it. What do you want me to do? Yeah, right? I actually have to apologize, as I completely forgot about that until like Jay texted me last night. He was like, Fantasy Game Critic? And I was like, oh yeah, wait a second. And in the process of trying to open it on my phone and get into Discord, I fell back asleep.
Yeah, we were wondering, because he's like, Lass is here. We're like,
You might be surprised though, because like the auto picks were like pretty solid, man. Like your team's not bad.
Yeah, I was looking at it and I was like, oh, okay, that's really not that bad. And then, because I think when I first looked, it was like 4 picks in or something like that before I fell asleep. And then I woke up this morning and double checked and was like, oh, look at that. I got Medieval at the end. Yay!
I mean, it's no Untitled Goose Game, but I mean,
well, you know. Right.
I'm so excited for Untitled Goose Game,
which is a real game.
Oh my god!
When I chose it, I literally thought it was like a project that someone hadn't finished yet. I was like, "This is incredible!" And then I looked it up, and I was like, "Oh shit! This is the actual title of the game."
I hope Ben leaves all that audio in. Like, I hope he doesn't just cut it to where we're just reading off our teams at the end. I hope he just leaves it all in.
Yeah,
fucking podcast gold.
That was such a good night.
I will.
Drafty fell asleep halfway through.
Oh, so funny.
Diddy. Shocking. I was looking at y'all's list. I got really jealous of your list, Fudge, because you've got Crash Team Racing on there. Like, I would have picked that in a heartbeat.
I was going to take Sonic Team Racing, but Drafty hadn't fallen asleep yet, so he got it.
But damn it.
I watched like 9 trailers for it last night while we were doing the draft.
Like hyping yourself up.
It's like Sonic Team Racing.
It looks good, man. That thing
looks
like it's gonna be pretty solid.
I'm excited.
Alright. So the reason why we are here today is because some games are difficult, some games are easy, some games let you choose whether you want it to be hard or easy. And some games just want to make you bash your head into a wall. I realize I said hard so many times in that sentence. Oh my god.
And you said hard and easy, so...
Oh, oops. Sometimes you can just flick it on and off, you know? It's simple. But... I'm so sorry.
Go on.
So the reason why this came to mind was because in my search for gaming articles that I can actually read at work, because a lot of websites are blocked because it's entertainment, I came across an article about how Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which is a game from Software, the same company that made Dark Souls, there's no... Well, I think you can make it more difficult, but there's no easy mode, really. It's you jump in and you can either play the game and beat the bosses, or you get stuck and you get frustrated and you never boot the game up again. And the article in question basically said there should be an easy mode for this. Like, why are you gonna keep some of the gaming community away because they're not skilled enough or don't have the time to sit there and try to strategize out boss fights? So it got me thinking, we're all about nostalgia here, so Sekiro is not the hardest game out there. What are some other hard games that we've come across in either our youth or even more modern games? Like, as an example, I asked my wife this morning, I said, what's the hardest game you played? She said, Ocarina of Time. Like, why Ocarina of Time? And she goes, well, because it took me 18 real life years to get Link to go from young Link to adult Link. Like, oh yeah, it did take you 18 years to do that. Because she couldn't figure it out. So she quit before we met. She quit. And then after we met, she still had her N64. We booted it back up. And I'm like, I think you just do this, this, and this. And she goes, see, I wouldn't have figured that out at the time because there were no online guides. It was figured out on your own.
Or go buy like the encyclopedia size book for it.
The insanely long encyclopedia. But yeah, so I thought we could have a discussion on some of the games that we thought were ultra difficult back in the day, whether they were just made that way flat out, or if you could have the choice to make it more difficult than the base mode was. And that's where we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
I like it.
So, like,
well, yeah, like any game back in the day, really, it was just, they were just more difficult, like, hands down. Anything like Sega Genesis era,
you know. 16-bit or earlier, you're gonna get rocked just
naturally harder.
And why was that though? Why do you think like the 16-bit, even like 8-bit ones were just more difficult than, let's say, modern games? Like, was it because they had the mindset of let's make this hard as hell, or is that just what they thought was fun at the time? Developers, I mean.
I think there was like a mix of things. I think I think the available technology had a lot to do with it. You know, because you can only do so much with, you know, the hardware that you had.
Right.
And you probably had, back then, you probably had like a team of, you know, 20, 30 people, as opposed to, hey, we have a company of 1,000 employees now. That's, you know, we can do whatever we want.
Oh, yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then, you know, I think also back then, you know, like we didn't have the internet and all that. And so, like, developers just, they had no fear of backlash. They were just like, we're going to do whatever we want. And, you know, I don't have to hear about it from anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And they had a vision. They executed that vision as best as they could, based on the hardware, and then it was just like whatever came out. And then you add to that the fact that, you know, back then, and I don't know, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to say, but like, you know, like for me, we bought one game like every 6 months, right? Like, and you're gonna play the hell out of it because that's all you had. You know, you might let your friend borrow it or borrow one of your buddy's games, but like that was the one you had, so you're gonna pound your head against the wall because you had nothing else to do. Now, you know, like we can buy, you know, 1,000 games off of Steam, touch it for a minute and then put it away. It's like, it doesn't hold my attention. It doesn't hold my attention. So I just move on to the next thing. So they kind of have, there's like more competition now, I think. So they kind of need to make things easier to appease like the masses. I don't know. That's just how I look at it.
Yeah, I think I'd read an article one time where they were actually talking about that exact thing. And because they were talking about how back in the day, you know, when you made the product and you sent it out, and that was that. There was no patches for your cartridge, you know. Yeah. Like when it was done, it was done. And they didn't want you to play their game for like 5 minutes. It was so easy. You're like, all right, well, I'm done with this. You know, they wanted it to be hard to make it, you know, the play replayability. You had to play it longer. Then you were talking to your friends about it, so that they were buying it. So it was all a corporate plan. Bastards. No, that was for the best. I mean, it creates stories like, you know, how I've never beaten any of the Disney games on Sega Genesis because they're dumb, stupid hard. But I keep trying to this day.
Chris in chat has an interesting point. He goes, certain patterns are not achievable by every person because how the brain works, and it's different for every person. Interesting.
No, he's just right. There's a lot of timing and patterns and stuff. That's for sure.
And those Sega Genesis Disney games or SNES or whatever system you might have played them on is just, in any list you look on YouTube or on an internet website for hardest games, it's usually Lion King is on there for like hardest level. I think Aladdin's on there too.
Those two are the bane of my existence.
Battletoads.
Battletoads.
It's those where you have to like memorize a whole sequence before you can get to the level. Is that where you got stuck in Lion King, Brett?
Yep.
Like the just can't wait to be king when he's doing through the giraffes and stuff.
Because you got to memorize everything before you even get there. Yeah.
Yep. I remember that.
My dad's beating the game. Jerks. Rubs in my face all the time.
Stupid adults.
Yeah. Golly. I got hurt at work and couldn't do anything else, so I sat here and played this all day. God.
That seems to be the trade-off. Like, when you're younger, you've got great reflexes and everything, but when you get older, you've got the memorization and the, the like, patience to deal with it. But as a kid, you don't have that. You're like, I'm done with this. This sucks.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the memorization thing for me was Mega Man 2 in Heat Man stage, remembering those stupid disappearing, reappearing blocks. And young, as when I was younger, couldn't figure it out. For some, it wasn't that difficult after a while, but, like, I just couldn't figure it out. As an adult, because they came out on the anniversary collection, and I tried it again and went, why did I ever think this was so hard? It's just memorize this, memorize that over here. And it's more the reaction times are just bad. Mm. Which is the downside of growing old.
No.
Damn it.
It was actually funny. I think it was last year I was streaming Shining Force. Mm-hmm. And I had someone... It was like, oh, I never played this. I'm going to go. It was a lot younger person who'd never, ever, you know, played that era before, really. And right. So they installed it. It was like 99 cents on Steam. And then came back like the next day and they're like, this is really hard. And I was like, yes, yeah, it is. Because they were like, oh, this looks easy. All you do is, you know, you just move and then you select if you want to attack or not. I'm like,
yeah,
if you say so.
You're like, poor children, you don't even know.
Were you playing Shining Force 1 or 2?
1.
So you have to go through the mains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's no way. Like, I remember playing that when I was younger, and it was just like, we had a piece of grid paper, and we had to draw the map, because it was... There's literally no map, and it's like, if you get lost, you're screwed.
Yeah, that's it.
Just keep turning left till you get
there's out. There's no pickups. If you run out of equipment, run out of equipment. You
die in the dungeon. Yeah, that was it. And it's not like you can go back and pick up whatever it was you dropped. It was just gone. So, yeah. That's a whole different level of difficulty that kids these days don't know.
They don't.
Sorry, Chris wanted a visual there.
No, you're fine. and your comment with, like, adults and having the patience stuff, and I'm like, and I think that's what, like, you know, Dark Souls, Sekiro, stuff like that, like, that's what it's designed for, is
yes.
You got to be, basically you have to have kids in order to play a game like that.
Right.
Because you got to be able to keep yourself calm when everything around you is very elevated.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
You know, and just be patient.
To prevent yourself from breaking controllers.
Yeah, I mean, I broke them all the time before I was a parent, and now I'm like, okay, go to your happy place.
You're like, where's my happy place? Where's my happy place? Please, where's my happy place?
This Elite controller costs $150. I'm not throwing it.
Exactly.
I would have to work so much blah, 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 with this and taxes. No, I can't be mad right now. Right. I can't afford. Yep.
Like, I'm an adult. Video games are supposed to be my happy place, not my stress environment.
Right.
Like, so you guys mentioned a couple of them that have been on, that are on, like, any list you can find of the hardest games. Silver Surfer is one that I forgot about because I didn't have a Nintendo Entertainment System growing up.
I don't think I ever played playing that, but I don't remember, like, I mean, it was like one of those, it's a really forgettable game. Like, I thought it was, I think we played it for, you know, we rented it from Blockbuster or whatever, mm-hmm. and we played for half an hour, like, this is dumb.
So forgettable probably is the best word based on the reviews I read, but the other reason why it made the list is because literally anything in that game could apparently kill you, and it was one-hit kills. So damn. Something would just nick you, like, the littlest pixel would nick you and you were dead. So there's plenty of rage videos, I'm sure.
Because I remember, like, just hating Silver Surfer after that. Like, this guy sucks. He can't do anything. He has no powers.
I'm not reading your comics. You suck, man.
Yeah. Jeez, I saw your movie. It's dumb.
Ooh. Ghosts and Goblins, Ninja Gaiden.
That one's hard. Ghosts and Goblins is
really hard.
Is that hard difficult. Because the gameplay is hard, or because you get to the end and it goes, hey, guess what? Do it all over again.
I mean, the gameplay itself was hard. Like, there's a lot of platforming, and the platforms were like, you know, it was, you had to be pixel perfect. Like, you miss one, you're falling all the way back down. And it was like those crazy sequences, like, what is that game for? on mobile. Doodle jump. It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just keep going up and up and up, but then the platforms can get smaller and smaller. And if you fall, you're going all the way back to the bottom. And it's like, all right, do it again.
Ugh.
And then couple that with like there's enemies there and you have like three hits and then you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no, you know, there's no code for extra lives or whatever. Yeah, that game was hard. But, you know, like back then, it was, okay, this is the game that we got. So let's just keep trying it. And eventually you beat it. But, I mean, you got beat up. Like, it was frustrating as hell.
Like, you earned your game completion in that one for sure.
Yep.
I always earn my completions.
Is that why you like it?
Oh. Yes, it is.
Nailed it. Did you guys ever play the Rebel Assault series?
I want to say yes. Something that sounds familiar.
On what
familiar.
System is that?
Those were... we played them on PC back in the day, but I think they might have been on... let me look real quick.
I do remember one on PC.
Sega Genesis... 3DO Interactive and a Sega Genesis and PC.
I'm trying to remember.
Those were
I don't think I played those.
So like part of it was like so the Star Wars Rebel Assault. So part of it was like missions where you're flying through sections. And it was actually really cool because it was in like came out in 93, and you have like you're flying through tunnels looking, you know, in third person. And you're like, holy shit, what is this? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it had shooting sections, which was the super cheesy. Like, remember when the big rage was to have like actual actors in your like arcade shooters?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it was like that.
Oh,
but
God.
It was a very difficult game.
Oof.
And it was raging because, you know, there's this, this one, you're the Millennium Falcon, which. After you play this game, you totally go, Han Solo, you're a god. Because you're going through this tunnel and there's like bars everywhere. And you're having to maneuver this awkwardly shaped ship, which you don't think about until you're actually flying the Millennium Falcon through here. And you're like, Jesus Christ, this is insane.
So this is why I think.
And then because it's 93, the input, you know, the input is like not super smooth. So you're like, all right, I think I'm good. And then it like arcs over and ugh.
And you're like, nope, missed that one. Nope, missed that one.
Guess I'm dead.
Oh,
guess I'm dead.
I definitely remember something like that.
Yeah, those were super difficult. But, I mean, it kept the playtime going.
That's true, yeah. What's going on here, bud? You haven't played any games. You can't possibly be upset.
Is playing mess with daddy's sleep schedule.
And he's winning.
That's the most difficult game of all for me.
It's the easiest game I've ever played, Dad.
That's right. But we mentioned the technology, like 8-bit, 16-bit, and all that, which is interesting because two of the harder games that I've come across in modern times are Cuphead and Celeste, which both kind of implement old school gameplay, especially Celeste 100%. With the graphics and Cuphead with the animation there with Cuphead too. And I don't think either one of those games would benefit from an easy mode. I think the purpose is the old school games are harder. We're making a game that's supposed to be like the old school games. So if you put an easy mode on there, you're kind of taken away from the whole nostalgia feel. You're taken away from just the gameplay in general. If you're like, here you go, it's easy now.
Well, yeah, I mean, putting in easy mode, honestly, is just... You're just taking off a mechanic of the... Like, a huge mechanic of the game.
Yeah.
It's a genre. If it's not for you, then don't play it.
Right.
But I want to see this story. Watch a YouTube series where they put the whole story together for you. You'll
be
fine.
Exactly, yeah. It's so much easier than destroying a controller or a PC monitor or a mouse or anything like that.
Wait, so are you guys, like, against the easy mode?
Not
oh, yeah.
I mean... if the game is like ships with an adjustable game mode or whatever, then fine, whatever. Like that gives you, like Halo, for example, in the Halo collection, you have that choice of like the easy mode where you basically run through everything, or the insane mode where everything kills you super quick.
Yeah.
So if you're into like Halo and you just want to shoot things, you've got that easy mode. But if you want a real challenge, you get that, I think it's heroic or insane, I can't remember. But like,
I'm trying to remember too.
Yeah. But an easy mode isn't applicable to everything, like Dark Souls, Sekiro, Celeste, Cuphead. They shouldn't have an easy mode. They're meant to be difficult, like FUD said. If you can't handle that kind of thing, then that's fine. Not everyone can. There's plenty of other games out there. There's nothing out there that said you have to purchase this game and play it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a good point. So it's not, I don't just have a blanket, there should not be an easy mode out there, I guess. Yeah, that, thank you for making that a more in-depth thing there. But, you know, like certain games, yeah, there's definitely games that need an easy, you know, should have an easy mode because of how they're designed. But when your games are specifically designed to be hard, yeah, that doesn't need to have an easy mode, because that is a genre. That's a genre in itself of gaming. And if Absolutely. That's not a genre for you, then you don't play it. But yeah, I'm not saying there shouldn't be an easy mode in any game ever, but
right,
the series it's designed, you know, specifically to be, this is our gameplay loop. It's hard. That is why we make games.
Exactly.
You shouldn't be forced to put an easy mode in there.
No, they definitely
I think it's up to each developer, right? Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to appeal to the masses, or do you want to just hit your niche and move on? You know, like, I mean, if they put easy mode in every game, like, personally, I'm okay with it, just because it's like, hey, you want to play, you know, like, enjoy it how you want to play it. And like, there have been games where I've just played it on easy, just because it's like, yeah, like you said, Brett, like, I just want to get through the story, like, I just want to experience what it's like, just get a taste of it, you know. And I don't really feel like pounding my head against the wall and just doing it over and over again. Like, I don't have that time that I used to, you know.
Oh, right. For sure.
Get older, you become a dad. It's like, you know, when you were younger, you had time but no money. Now it's like money but no time. You know what I mean? It's just like,
right. I can't
have either of those.
Like, I would never fault somebody for, you know, playing something on easy. I remember when I was younger, like, my brother, for instance, he was just like, why are you playing it on easy? Play it, you know, you got to play it at least on normal, you know, because I mean, normal's basically, it's like how does the developers want you to experience it, right? Like, that's their vision of the game. And then they add hard to just add a challenge, and then they make easy to make it more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to normally play everything on normal, but I think for easy, like, you know, like, let's say, for example, like my kids, you know, like, let's say all their friends are playing, just for example, we'll say Sekiro for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Not that it's happening, but, you know, and then like my kids want to try it, but too hard. Like, yeah. Like, I don't see a fault in the easy mode just because they want to see what it's like. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I think, like, so my brother and I used to play games like StarCraft against each other over our PCs and everything, just in the house, but also against computer opponents. But I would say that 8 or 9 times out of 10, we always made the computer opponents easy.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have those like quick, fast reflexes like the professionals have to really keep up with the more difficult, the higher difficulties. So instead of getting ourselves super frustrated at losing to AI opponents, we would just drop the difficulty or their intelligence down, essentially, and then wipe the floor with them. Which,
yeah,
when you're young, that's fine because that's all you care about is, you know, winning and having a good time. But when you're older, you kind of say, well, you know, I don't want to put this on easy because then I don't feel like I accomplished anything. Because, like, if I'm beating AI in a game like StarCraft or Warcraft or Age of Empires, something's wrong. I've made it too easy.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's like, I mean, there's a big, you know, difference between playing something in terms of like PvE, as like you said, like you're playing against AI and you make it easy, that's fine. But like, if you go and, you know, against somebody else and you're using something to make things easy, then okay, that kind of sucks, because then you're ruining it for the other person, right?
Right.
I think it's a difficult thing for developers. I mean, I can't even imagine how they try to figure that out, like the balance of, you know, is this too difficult? Is this too easy? And then, you know, you have to find this spot in the middle where you just have, you know, okay, there's a challenge here, but then there's also like a feeling of accomplishment if you do it. You know, like if you make it too easy and you beat it, you're like, well, that was dumb. Like, I just wasted my time. But if you make it too difficult, then people quit. You know, like it must be, I can't imagine how difficult that is to find that area in your game.
Yeah. Well, especially in a game that's like, I mean, you think of it in like Destiny standards where, okay, you're this super insane person with these very powerful abilities and these insanely powerful guns, and that they can still make you feel like, you know, you're fighting an uphill battle. You know, that's not easy to do.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And one of the other things I read about when you make a game more difficult, and not like a Sekiro where it's difficult to start to begin with, but if you have like a normal mode and then you have like a more difficult mode, sometimes it can feel like you had like a strategy on the normal mode, like there were multiple ways you could go through the game and still reach the end. Whereas when it gets into a difficult mode, maybe it kind of feels like it's more of a pipeline of one strategy that works simply because the game's harder. So it's more difficult to have like multiple ways to attack the game, because what worked on normal may not work on hard mode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you go back to, in terms of Destiny, you know, it's like how the raids are. You know, when the raid first comes out, like you have to have this weapon, and this loadout, and you have to have, you know, this subclass here, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only way to beat it. But as we get stronger and like our light level goes up, then you start being able to use whatever you want. You know, it becomes easier just because you've run it 100 times. You know,
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But oh, 100, yeah. Let's do a raid run where I'll use a sword with no ammo in it. Let's go.
Yeah, all right. Like, you know, the Corona runs at the end were just ridiculous.
I think I heard about that where people are like, that's called a medieval raid when you just go in with swords and what the hell was the other one? I can't remember, but like, yeah, you just went in with like swords and all that. I'm like, this is what you're allowed to use because it's medieval times now.
Back now before, we can do yeah. Swords and bows.
Damn. There it is, bows. Oh, thank you. Right.
Back before D2 dropped, you know, we had that lull where everyone was just waiting for it. The Bonge, it's a streamer, he did this thing. It's called like the Wheel of Misfortune. And he would spin this wheel and it would just be like, sidearms only, you know, warlocks only. And he would spin it 3 times and whatever that came up, that's how they ran the raid. It was nuts. It was so funny.
That's a good way to keep that fresh, though. Just
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It forces you to use stuff that you're not, you know, like for me, like I run Titan, right? Like 99% of the time. And it's like,
because you're smart. Yeah.
But I can see where other people who aren't quite as addicted as I am to the game, where they would say, dude, you've been doing the same thing for 3 years. Like, fuck, dude.
Well, and that's kind of like the prestige raids sort of have that, right? Where there's set loadouts you use or whatever, or have to use, I think.
Oh, yeah. And that rotates week to week, too, yeah.
Yeah. Not quite. It doesn't sound like that's as fun as Bonge's Wheel of Misfortune, but it's definitely something that keeps it, like, it keeps it fresh. So, like, it's more difficult, not only because it's prestige, but because they tell you, hey, guess what? You're only allowed to use these weapons. Go and have fun.
I don't know that I would call the prestige raid fun.
No? Like those,
I'm like, dude, this is... God, we're just torturing ourselves at this point.
Yeah, I've never tried.
We only do, like, the first encounter of... I don't even know which one it is. It's not Last Wish. Which one came out before that one?
Scourge?
Yeah, I think it's Scourge. Because we're just trying to get, like, the catalyst to drop that thing. So we just run in the first encounter. Like, oh, just good enough. Just get the chest and we'll get the hell out of here.
Quick side note.
We're done. Never again.
Side note, you brought up Catalyst. Apparently, I saw a YouTube video this morning, which I think it might just be a rumor, but apparently those Catalysts from the Faction Rally Wars or whatever they were.
Oh, yeah.
They're coming back this summer, apparently. Not the Faction Rallies, but the Catalysts. Like,
the Catalysts, yeah.
You just reminded me of that. I was like, oh, yeah, wait.
Because they've just been gone from the game for like a year.
I know, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Oh, hope you all got these.
too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Fuck you.
You gotta be quicker than that.
Almost had
it. Almost had it. I've got you this dollar.
Yeah, that was not the best design choice.
No, it was a little mystifying there.
But that's not what this podcast is about.
No.
No.
This podcast is about, in this particular case, difficulty, such as, speaking of Destiny, how about that that Shattered Throne dungeon, trying to run that solo?
Oh shit! Yeah, I haven't tried doing it with
you. Have you done that?
Group was like, yeah, I've done it. Not solo.
No.
I mean, just going through it with three people, I was like, how?
Yeah, I mean,
solo. What?
So I've seen like Shackle Shotgun, and I think a couple others like purposely try to do it solo because there's a triumph you can get for it that basically says, "Look, I did it."
It's like solo flawless or something, right? Like you can't die.
Yeah. Oh, there's a solo flawless one. Yeah.
Something crazy. This is not gonna happen.
No, but that's a really good example of adding something into a game that's just purposely difficult, and not upsetting your player base. You're like, hey, check this out. If you guys go through this particular mission / dungeon by yourself and you don't die, here's a triumph. I think you get an emblem too, if I recall.
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something you can hang your hat on and go, I did this by myself. That's amazing. And then it still takes you 15 or 16 runs to actually get the stupid Dreaming City ship to drop from that stupid thing.
That feels good. Well, and that's the point, you know, with earlier is like, it's a very specific player base that wants that.
Right.
So many people are trying for it and have gotten it and whatnot, which is awesome. But it proves that there's people out there. That's what they want in a game.
Yeah.
And that's why Dark Souls got as big as it did, because that's a very particular player base.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
And if it's not for everyone, it's not for everyone. It's okay. Yeah. There's a million games out there.
Yeah, I don't think
it's such a good time to be a gamer. It's like it's a never-ending pile of choices.
Exactly. And again, there's nothing anywhere written in stone that says as a gamer you must buy all these games that come out. Like, it doesn't matter if you're like more into multiplayer kart racers, if you're into whatever. Oh, I'm a gamer, I have to buy this one. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you don't like those style of games, like Drafty was saying, he's not into those style of games, you just don't buy those ones. There are libraries of games out there. Yeah, it's okay, guys. Calm down.
Also, can we take a moment to appreciate Laz? Just
it's pretty phenomenal, dude.
For the audio listeners, Laz is dadding it up and like just changed a diaper while continuing the conversation mid podcast.
I feel like that just becomes second nature after a while.
It really does.
And like, honestly, if I close my eyes, I wouldn't be able to tell. Like the audio, like,
yeah,
it never fluctuated.
Isn't that like you heard a bunch of like,
yeah,
you didn't hear any of that. Like, it was just done.
Or you hear him going.
I think the worst that's probably the worst you would have heard, because
kept the thought going perfectly the entire time.
For those of you that either don't have kids or don't have any sons, let me tell you how fun it is to try to make sure that this thing down here stays covered at all times so you don't get pee everywhere.
Super fun.
Oh my god. He has so far peed on his own face twice. He's peed on the dog once. I think that's it though. Cause I try to, that's my gamer triumph is diaper off, recover super quick.
Yeah, every time I change my son, I feel like at the beginning of Indiana Jones, I'm like sitting there and I'm like got the other diaper in my hand. I'm all looking at the first one. All right.
It's so true.
Yeah, I don't know that experience. I have a nephew who I've changed, but he's never done that. So.
And that's, yeah. And it's, yes, I agree with Chris. That's the newest podcast, Destiny Diaper Chronicles. DDC.
I like it.
Here's how the schedule is going to go. It's going to be Destiny Diaper Chronicles, followed by Vacuum Podcast starring Admiral Nips, followed by, what did you guys say? Soundboard Podcast, basically?
Oh, the Soundboard Podcast? Yeah. We're all just sit there and just play sound bites and have a conversation. Yeah.
Dueling soundboards.
It drives my nuts.
Oh, shit. Not bad. Oops.
I was reading through my notes and I came across one that just said lettuce. And I looked at it and I remembered, oh, that's because my daughter wanted to help me with my notes. I said, what do you want me to write? She goes, lettuce. Okay. Okay. Whatever.
Hey, is there a game with lettuce out there?
There should be.
Oh, actually, there is.
Is because it those zombies? Has to be.
No, those what are those, like, the quick event cooking games where you have to, like, the orders come up.
Overcooked. To, like,
yeah. That's hard.
Yes. Oh my
Dude,
god.
Dude, that game is so awesome.
But still. Now, is that game difficult because it's meant to be difficult, or is it difficult because you have to actually interact in sequence with other human beings?
I think the design of that game is just genius, man. Like, it's,
it really is.
Because it does, it really does, like, it creates its own challenge. Just the fact that you have to communicate with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, they're all about, like, that couch co-op. Like, I don't know how well that would work, like, online.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, it's the fact that you're sitting next to each other and you can elbow each other in the ribs. Like, dude, what are you doing? You know,
well,
like,
why is the kitchen on fire again?
Again, you know, and you see everybody just breaking down because they're laughing so hard.
Yeah,
that design is absolutely, it's spot on.
Right,
100%.
And it's even got that star rating system, so the difficulty increases. You're like, I want 3 out of 3 stars. We're going to play that again. But we just, like, cursed each other out and yelled at each other. We're doing it again, damn it. I want that top ranking.
At the same time, though, like, that game, like, I don't think it's... The focus isn't to be like, you know, hey, let's make the most difficult game possible. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not really an issue as far as, like, is there, you know, let's say they add an easy mode to it. There's not an issue, you know, because it's like, that's not part of the design. The design is just, okay, we have a kitchen and have a good, you know, it's not, okay, this is going to be we created a difficult game on purpose because we want to see if you can get through it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a lot of reflex work. Because you know, by the time you get to the end of the round, there, like, everything's going so fast.
It really is, yeah. Not made any easier by the fact that sometimes you have floating platforms that you can't access the other floating platform you need with the oven or the frying pan on it for a good, I don't know, 30 seconds. Meanwhile, the orders are, like, shaking at the top, going, "We're hungry," and you're like, "I can't get to the cookware. Okay, sorry."
I will recommend that game to anybody.
Oh, 100%.
That's one of the very few games where I will, like, dude, you need to try. Like, two.
Right? I mean, and that's a game that, like, ooh, bless you. That the gameplay is difficult. Damn, man. But I think, like you guys said, it's not made difficult on purpose. It's just the gameplay, like, scales as you get into higher levels. It's like any game, like a Mario game or the Sonic games, where it starts off relatively easy, but then it scales up because you should be getting better at the mechanics as the game goes along, so they're going to throw more challenges at you. And yeah. I think the difference is with this one is that it's not just you versus whatever the developers put in there. It's you and whoever you're co-oping with coordinating together to deal with what the developers are throwing at you, which is what makes that game so fun, because they're like, you're going to be playing with someone on the couch next to you. So while you can run it by yourself, how can we make this more challenging for two people who should be able to communicate with each other right next to each other? So,
yeah.
That's a hard recommend for everyone there, yeah. And I think that's just on the Switch, right? I don't remember.
No, it's on Xbox.
It's on Xbox? Okay.
At least the first one is. I don't know about two, but the first one is.
Yeah, I remembered hearing you guys, I think it was, maybe it was just Jay or both of you guys talking about it on a podcast a while back. And I went, because I don't have a Switch, because I'm... And so my sister does, so I went over there to visit, and she's like, do you want to play this game? And I was like, oh, dear God, yeah. Let's do this right now.
Are you ready for me to yell at you? Throw me the bread, damn it.
Come on, Sam!
You know, going back to like the whole, like the easy mode, the hard mode discussion. It's like, I was thinking of it in terms of Super Mario Maker.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, imagine you create this level, right? And you're trying to make it as difficult as you possibly can.
Yeah.
And like Cliff from Death RX, he had that one that had made it into one of the YouTube channels. And it was diabolical, dude. Like, it you needed to have just perfect time for everything just to get through it. So he designs this thing, and I can't imagine, like, you create that, and then like the community says, you know what, this is too hard, you need to make it easier. It's like, dude, I just put my heart and soul into this, and now you're telling me to change it because you don't like it. You know, like, I can understand that frustration from a developer's standpoint.
100%. So
it's, you know, I mean, I understand both sides. I understand like the gamers who want to try everything, but then as a developer too, it's like, hey, I made this, like, this is what I wanted to make, like, this should, it should be fine. If you don't like it, then play something else.
Oh, absolutely.
I totally understand that perspective too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the developers want to make what they want to make because that's what interests them. They shouldn't, like you said, they shouldn't have to adjust that because part of the gaming community is like, that's too hard. Again, there's libraries of games out there. There's nothing that says you must play that one game. So, like, if something's too difficult for you, no one's saying quit, but, like, you know, shelve it for the time being and come back to it later. Damn it. I think there's that's fine. There's just a lot of that going around now. Wait, not that. There's a lot of the, like, this is too difficult, please scale it down sort of thing. And
well, it's just a general, I guess, the world we live in now, where it's everything's right now, everything can change for me. The second Twitter realized it had a voice and people listened to them, it was fucking game
over. It was really like,
oh yeah,
you know, like the whole, what was it with EA and the Star Wars game with the microtransactions or something? Mm-hmm. Where they EA pulled everything out. I was just like, this is a great victory as far as like the game goes, but this is gonna be bad. Like,
yeah,
this is gonna be real bad
because now everyone goes, oh, they'll just change whatever we say now. Yeah, and now,
you know, like, we can mobilize. It's like, dude, it's a game. Just relax, you know?
Which is also, so it wasn't just Twitter. It was basically people in general. So if you get, well, I know I asked Jay and Derek / Fluffy this because of the recent AMP episode about the new Sonic trailer for the movie. And how the character design wasn't so well received by pretty much
everyone.
Yeah.
And they changed it. They're changing it.
Which brings up an interesting point, because I came across something in my Twitter feed that someone else had shared, and it was someone who said, I'm really afraid to be a content creator these days, because if this is the reaction that's going to happen when I put out a piece of content, like, what's fueling my desire if all I'm going to get is this non-constructive criticism that's just negative and shoots me down? And within those responses, there was someone that was like, well, there's a difference between putting out content and receiving like negative feedback because like something's difficult or it's not made well versus you took something iconic, completely reworked it for something modern, and people are feeling their like childhoods basically torn to shreds because they're like, I spent so much time with this character, what did you just do to it? But I understand where that content creation frustration comes from, because if you're just going to get negative feedback from everyone, like, what makes you want to sit there and put out content if you know, like, oh, Twitter's going to rip me to shreds or Reddit? So,
no, it's...
It's tough.
The people that got mad about the Sonic thing, like, I was... In my head, I'm just like, did you watch the He-Man movie in the 80s? Did you watch the Mario Brothers movie? Did you watch
that's Spawn? That's why we're trying to change it.
You know, it's like,
right. We don't watch that with better CGI.
There were so many people that went, this Sonic trailer makes the Mario Brothers movie look like a AAA feature or something like that, or like an Oscar-winning movie. I'm like, let's not get too crazy, okay?
Like, even my daughter is 5, and she, I was watching the trailer, and she walked in, and she goes, he looks weird, like, left the room. It's like, yeah.
That's okay. Yes. I will say that is when you know maybe some change is needed. If kids who didn't grow up with like Sonic are like, something's not right there, like, maybe they're onto something.
But the content creator thing, like 100%, I feel that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's a difference between like. If you're making something iconic like Sonic, let's say, and you're making like a short, mm-hmm. or you know, an artistic thing, privately done, it's you and you change. There's nothing wrong. Like, that's artistic freedom, you know, or creativity, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. But when you're gonna, you know, put it in as like the official. Here it is on the big screen at that level. It's got to be accurate to the core, the base model or whatever.
Oh yeah, 100%. It's
totally different.
Yeah, but you know, speaking from a content creator point of view, it's like, okay, you have a podcast, let's say, mm-hmm. and you have 5 co-hosts, and you guys can't agree on anything. Mm-hmm. Imagine that with like. A movie crew of 1,000 people. Oof. You know, and you're sitting there, you're trying to pitch this movie to like these corporate execs who don't even know who the hell Sonic is or care. They just want to know how much money is this thing got. Mm-hmm. You know, like there has to be compromise, right? Like it just goes back and forth, and really who suffers is the viewers. Mm-hmm. That's what happened, you know, and that's just from speaking as a podcaster who's had a little tiny podcast with just a few hosts. It's I can understand like the difficulty of just trying to come up with something where everybody, and then now you gotta, then you throw it out there, and then you get the feedback of like,
and then amp, you know, you changed it, right? And you went back to the base model of the pure Sonic, which is your personality. And now it's magical.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
He's holding the magic in his hands. For you audio listeners, by the way.
But I understand that. I think it was Dr. Lupo this morning or last night, yesterday. He tweeted something like he said, like, I missed the days of Fortnite where, you know, it was just where people were like positive and just having fun. Like that's all that mattered, was like it was fun. And everyone was all over it.
It's a community thing for sure. Yeah.
It's I don't know if it's a community thing. I think it's just like I think sometimes we get lost in the whole world of Twitter, and we think that that's how everybody thinks, which it really isn't. You know, like it's just Twitter's nothing but the vocal minority.
Yeah.
You know, it's people who want to just chime in, and there's an infinite amount of more people who are happy with just they'll buy a game, they'll play it, and if they don't like it, they'll put it away. You know, it's on Twitter, you go on there, and it's like, oh, someone's complaining about this, let me pop along. And a lot of like the negative people that you see who like reply to like the Anthem devs, for example, you know, like they're like, oh, we're working on this. They're like, that game. You click on that guy's profile, 5 joined Twitter a month ago.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like people are just making like these.
Jay just wrecked that guy.
People are making like these bullshit like accounts and stuff to troll. And you know, hey, I. First-hand experience with, you know, with the podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, dude, like, what are you guys doing? You know, what's the point? Like, what are you guys trying to do? And I think, yeah.
And that's like when these difficult Disney games and these like Battletoads and stuff came out, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Facebook, there wasn't Reddit. It was just like at most you had what, the gaming magazines maybe, mm-hmm. or something like that, which was one
you
person.
You had to write your letter handwritten. Yes. I am very angry at this. Fold it up, put a fucking stamp on it, and mail it off.
It took effort, right?
For a month, and you had to open the magazine.
I've got to use a stamp on this? Jesus.
Now on Twitter, it's, you know, and I've heard that, you know, Twitter's the equivalent of standing on your roof and just screaming at the top of your lungs, and that's really
100%.
What it is.
And you kind of wish, though, don't wish at the same time, some people would just fall off their roof, maybe? You know? Yeah. I don't wish death on anybody. Just maybe, you know.
Yeah, this definitely just, you know, fall off the roof, beaten by a rabbit.
Listen, we have an overpopulation problem. This is how we deal with it.
We need a new
easy Thanos, easy.
I don't need Infinity Stones. Just push people off of roofs.
But well, another thing with like this thought is come around in the modern artistic society. I would say overall, it's movies, gaming, food, even like. The thought is that happen now where people think you're not a serious critic unless you're only negative. I'm looking at you, Paul Ted. you know, but like that's everyone's idea now is everyone thinks this makes me, I'm really into gaming if all I do is critique and say the negative things and everything and pull those out. That makes me a better critic. Like, no, being able to do both.
Right.
It's but that's why you see Twitter the way it is because everyone thinks I just have to shit on things because that makes me look like a passionate gamer if all I'm doing is being angry all the time. No.
Right, and you're not an exciting individual if you're just happy about something. You're like, oh, look, they're all happy about this game. I'm going to move on. Oh, look at this one. It's like flaming negative. Awesome. This is great. I'm going to read this some more. And that's kind of sad because... like you said, Jay, it's the vocal minority of people that you hear really like openly bashing and cursing out devs and all of that. And the majority of us, maybe we have a negative feeling about it, but we're not like on Twitter bashing it constantly, usually at least. And I think
I also think we're older than the average age on Twitter. There's a lot of kids. It's on there, you know, like their brains just haven't developed. They just haven't even thought things through.
Right. They haven't experienced what it's like to be an adult and stressed. You have to pay bills, kids. Seriously. Bills.
Well, and that's the scary thing is like, that's what's molding these kids' mind. Mm-hmm. Obviously, their parents aren't around because they're, you know, 9 years old on Twitter.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
This is what's creating their mindset of how the world is, how the world works. It's not going to be the joke of middle-aged women saying, I speak to your manager. It's going to be all this, like, these 12-year-olds. Can I speak to a manager? This is wrong, you know?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's not going to be...
And like you guys said earlier, it's turned into an environment now where those people all group together on Twitter, and if they're vocal enough, changes happen because it seems like that's what the majority of people want, even if that is a minority. Mm-hmm. They're the ones speaking up. It's not, that's why they're the vocal minority. There's no vocal majority because they're not saying anything. They're mostly silent. And that's why that article about Sekiro's difficulty was kind of annoying to read, because not only because it was the only thing I could read, thank you internet blockage at work, but it doesn't make sense. Like, the devs want to make games, or producers want to make movies, or content creators want to make the content they want to make because they're passionate about that content. Yeah. And to sit there and openly bash it the way that some people do, I don't think they appreciate the time and effort that's gone into that content. And to basically say, hey, From Software, these games are too hard. You should put it in easy mode because I can't handle it. No, that's ridiculous. Like, you've got a good, like, base of people that love that kind of hard content. And, yeah, they'll still play it. If they came out with an easy mode for Sekiro, they're still going to play Oh my god, there's too many hards in this. It's hard.
Too many hard.
It's hard.
It's pretty hard.
Nice.
So hard.
There we go. Folks, if you put the time and the effort in, you too can have an amazing soundboard. Soundboards are worth the investment.
Oh my god.
The best part is that I don't think we know anybody that would actually be upset if they got clipped and put onto someone's soundboard.
Yeah.
All in the name of comedy. There's no malicious intent, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
As far as like movie reviews, like game reviews and stuff, we need all of us need to do a better job of just differentiating between this game is not for me versus this game is broke.
Right.
That those have become interchangeable, and that's really, really frustrating.
Exactly.
That's a really good point.
You're like, oh, this game doesn't fit my life, therefore it's broke. I hate the word broken.
Mm-hmm. My God. Therefore it must change
for me. You know?
Come over here for a second, then. Hold on, we're doing it.
She's talking.
We have some questions.
All right, come here, child.
I entertained her as long as I could.
Come here, child.
Why are you doing this?
What am I doing? I'm talking to these guys. Here, put on your glasses.
Okay.
Dude, she's getting so big.
Holy crap.
Right? Can you say hi?
Hey.
For you audio listeners, my two-year-old just waved at the camera. She's wearing sunglasses because she is a star and it is too bright everywhere.
What is the hardest game your two-year-old has ever played?
What's that?
These are my headphones so that I can listen to what they're saying. What's the hardest game you ever played, Abby?
So you can hear our battle.
I want my glasses.
You want my glasses? That is a very difficult game. Especially since serious. I'm already wearing some.
Come on, Abby.
Are you ready to fly? Can you fly to mommy? You can take that with you.
No, don't be ready.
Oh, no. Later. Okay? Ready? Can you fly?
Ooh, that's a crinkly wrapper. That sounds unhealthy. What was that? Eminem?
Cinnamon roll Pop-Tart.
Okay. Oh.
Ooh.
Okay, come on, baby. Sorry. Let's go fly.
I'll be done shortly, okay?
Oh, watch your head.
Bye,
Abby. Oh my god, that was so cute.
I am not editing any of that.
Nope, and I wouldn't expect you to either.
Okay. Oh my god, that was amazing.
That's life in the Laz household right there.
God, I love it.
That's awesome.
Right?
I teared up a little bit. That was beautiful.
I feel like that's a perfect way to wrap up this discussion, especially since I've kept you guys for an hour and 15 now, and it's... You guys are 2 and 3 hours earlier than I am, which makes you guys the true champs here.
I mean, I'm down to like do a deep dive into Lord of the Rings series right now if you're on.
Let's go. Oh, dear Lord. Well, you
a
see.
A live watch-a-thon with commentary.
Running That's commentary?
Good. Let's do it. Yep.
Oh, my God. And no bathroom.
The extended version.
That's what
I
the
just wear diapers
for.
All the time anyway.
Oh, never mind. I have diapers up here, but they're size 1. Don't think it fits.
Hey, fun fact.
I have a bucket.
Bigger Gatorade bottles. Huge. Makes life so much easier.
Yeah, the only bottle I have is this. I don't think I'm going to get any...
Is that the one with the broken nipple?
No, that one's on there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. So yeah, but gaming difficulty. Hopefully we see companies like From Software continue to pump out games that cause some gamers to slam their heads into windows and into walls till the sweat drops down their balls. That's how you know it's 9 or 10 in the morning when I start dropping Lil Jon quotes in there. But yeah, this is a great discussion. Thanks for waking up, gents.
You're welcome.
On this Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, of course, dude. Come on.
It is Sunday morning, right?
I'm easy like one, that's for sure.
So, as a quick reminder before we sign off, please go follow our GSR intern at GSR intern. Bombard him or her, because we've never met this person in person, so we have no idea. With all of your tweets about,
and we don't want to.
Yeah, they could not be here today because they had explosive diarrhea.
So, live following Gal.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will Twitch raid that particular incident so you can see it live.
I don't believe Lass is a real scientist.
See, that's the kind of troll I can appreciate.
Well, whoever this person is, brava. Brava.
Yes, that's right, brava. Mr. Elmer Fudd, where can we find you and your amazing, amazing show?
Well, you can find me in your heart or in the palm of Jay's hand.
I mean, clean it off first.
Sorry.
This is a visual bit.
Sorry, that was him. No, I'm not going to explain it. He's just, you know, coming on my face. No big deal.
Wow. So,
we make no edits here. No edits.
Yeah. Just some Guardians of the show if you want humor like that. Hey, yeah. You can find that Twitter, JSGcast, iTunes, Podbean, etc. As for myself, Elmer Fudd Games, Twitter and Twitch. And you, Elmer Fudd Games, double M, double D.
And Mr. Co-host, who is not the same Mr. Co-host as it can be found in a random Discord, whose name is Mr. Co-host. That went on much longer than I thought it was going to. Oops. Jay, where can you be found on the internet along with your show? Other show, I should say.
The other show. you can find me everywhere as AKA Gear Dad. Go to antimetapodcast.com for both this show and Antimeta. And also has the links to everywhere, like the Discord, the shirt, and all that other.
Excellent. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at TheLazarich, 2 Z's. And this show, you can be found at Gamerscore Radio. And as of lately, the only thing we are doing on that account is feuding with our intern, because we don't believe in texting or calling or face-to-face meetings, so we tweet each other. They still haven't given us our coffee because they're lazy.
Bastards.
Unbelievable.
Face-to-face, that's so 2000 and late.
God.
Well, bleh.
It's early for me, sorry.
On that note, you may find episode 6 whenever the next fiscal year starts, because Burning Wing, we put out episodes when we want to, not on your schedule. Thanks, folks. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up in Discords. We will respond to you. Have a good morning, thanks, everyone.
Yes. Just have a good...
It is morning, not night, damn it.
Yeah.
No.